deep-seated insecurities was exhilarating. Evangeline Hawthorne was confident. She was beautiful and worthy of Drake Donovan. A ridiculous smile attacked her face, and she was so encapsulated in the thrall of her dreamy thoughts that she hadn't even registered Drake ringing off with her parents, until his lips trailed a fiery line up her neck to nibble at her ear. "My angel looks happy," he murmured. "I hope my return has something to do with that." She turned and threw her arms around his neck, peppering his entire face with kisses.
"Oh, Drake, I am happy. I missed you terribly."
He smiled indulgently at her. "I was only gone for a day, babe." "It was one day too long," she said crossly. He grinned. "Your parents are nice." The swift change in conversation made her pause, and then she returned his grin, her cheeks widening until they nearly cracked.
"You like them?"
"Yes," he said seriously. "They are good people." Remembering that it was doubtful Drake had had much experience with good people, she regarded him with the same seriousness.
"They're the best kind of people," she said huskily. "I'd do anything in the world for them."
"They're very lucky, then." She reached up and lay her palm over his bristled, unshaven cheek.
"I'd do anything for you as well, Drake. I hope you never forget that."
He captured her hand and dragged it over his lips, so he kissed the inside of it. "Oh, you've proved that, Angel. Over and over. I doubt I'll ever forget it." He followed his statement with a slight wince and a sigh.
"Is something wrong?"
she asked anxiously, her earlier euphoria dissipating as she took in Drake's grim expression. Drake stared at Evangeline, hating what he was about to do. Deceive her. Or rather, lie by omission. Make something appear as something else altogether, when he'd promised himself he'd never lie to her or hurt her. And if he didn't handle this just right, not only would he be lying to her, but he could also hurt her if she misconstrued his reasons. Knowing that the longer he remained silent and the longer he dragged this out, the worse it would appear, and that it could explode in his face, he kissed her and allowed sincere regret to show. He pulled her down onto the couch, so they were seated next to each other.
"I know tomorrow night is our night to eat in with you cooking, but I have a very important business meeting here. I'll be entertaining my associates in our home. Unfortunately, it's unavoidable, and I promised you that I wouldn't miss our dinners in unless absolutely necessary. This is one of the rare times when it's absolutely necessary to meet where we can be assured quiet and privacy." Her brow furrowed in puzzlement as she processed his vague statement, and he didn't miss the disappointment in her eyes, nor her attempts to mask her reaction by quickly regaining her composure.
"I understand," she said, only the slightest tremble in her voice to reveal her emotion. "Maybe we can have a do-over later in the week."
Damn, but he hated what came next. How to ensure she wasn't present during his meeting without it being obvious he didn't want her there. He'd broken one of his promises, a vow he'd made to himself, something unthinkable, by lying to Evangeline. He would not, under any circumstances, break the other promise he'd made, that she'd never be touched by the alternate shadowy life he led. "I know you didn't go out last night, so I thought perhaps you'd want to go out on the town tomorrow night. You name it, and I'll make it happen, Angel. Whatever you'd like to do. Quite frankly, the meeting will be boring as hell, and I don't ever expect you to have to suffer strangers and awkwardness in your own home. And you damn sure as hell won't be expected to please six arrogant bastards who will be all dick-sizing one another during negotiations. He didn't have to fake the pissed-off, inconvenienced act for Evangeline, because he was both. If so much wasn't riding on this goddamn deal, he'd tell every one of them to go fuck themselves. He never opened his personal residence to anything business-related. This was his only sanctuary, and now it was Evangeline's, and it pissed him off that he had to, in a nutshell, kick his angel out of her own home for the evening and play nice with men he wouldn't ever want within a mile of his woman. She bit into her bottom lip, hesitating, obviously immersed in thought. He wished to hell he could read her right now. 99% of the time, she was utterly transparent, her eyes a window to her soul. But this was the 1% of the time when he had no clue what she was thinking or feeling. He had to hold back her name and the question that would most assuredly be in his voice if he uttered it, because he knew he would sound uncertain, and he had to play this just right. It was simply a business meeting, and he was offering her the city on a silver platter for the night. He didn't need to sound like he had a reason to be worried about what she was thinking.
"Tomorrow night is the girl's night off," she said softly. I need to see them. We haven't spoken. Not since the night Steph came over here. We've let it go on too long. I need to talk to them. I tried to call them while you were out of town. I thought we could grab something to eat, catch up. But I never heard back from them."
Drake's lips thinned slightly. Damn it. He wasn't keen on a reunion with her girlfriends. Not if there was the possibility of them filling her head with a bunch of shit. But at the same time, it offered him the perfect out. She would be happy, and he would effectively keep her separate from his business. "You should go, then," he said gently. Her eyes widened in surprise.
"You don't mind?"
He pulled her further into the crook of his arm, so she was nestled firmly against him. "It's obvious that your estrangement is making you unhappy," he said. He stroked his palm over her cheek and then cupped her jaw, feathering his thumb over her satiny skin. "I want you to be happy, Angel. So if seeing your girls will do that, then I'll have a man take you over tomorrow evening."
"Should I plan to stay over with them?" she asked, a little hitch in her breath.
At that, he frowned. "Hell no. I'll tell Maddox to have you back by 11, and if for some reason my meeting goes longer, I'll let him know. But you will be back here afterward. One night away from you was enough. No way in hell I'm going to spend another without you so soon after being away this time." She smiled at that, and then gave him a mischievous grin.
"So, tell me, do you have to call Maddox right this minute? Or can it wait for a little while?"
He arched one eyebrow, regarding her suspiciously. "That entirely depends on what you have up your sleeve, you little imp." She rose up and arched over him, straddling his lap, looping her arms around his neck before sliding downward to the floor until she was kneeling between his thighs, her hands fluttering to the fly of his slacks.
"Oh, I don't know. For as long as I have time to welcome you back home properly."
She licked her lips, even as she began unzipping his pants. His eyes glittered and became half-lidded. "Well, if that's the case, then take your time, Angel. I assure you, Maddox will wait. I, on the other hand, can't. So by all means, welcome your man home properly." 29. To Evangeline's surprise and delight, the next morning she awoke surrounded by Drake's warm, solid body. He was wrapped around her, her head nestled on his shoulder, his arms possessively anchored around her, and one leg thrown over hers. She couldn't have moved if she wanted, and it was certainly the last thing she wanted. She let out a deep sigh of contentment, thinking she'd never been happier than in this moment.
"Good morning, Angel," he murmured against her hair.
"Good morning," she said, smiling against his shoulder.
"You're smiling."
She nodded.
"Any particular reason?"
"This is the first time I've woken up in your arms," she said in a dreamy voice. "It's nice."
He rubbed his hand up and down her back, and then down to cup her behind.
"I found I didn't like being away from you for even one night, and I was reluctant to leave our bed so early this morning."
"I'm glad. This is the very best way to wake up."
He sighed.
"Unfortunately, I can't linger as much as I'd like to. I'd rather spend the day home, making love to you and keeping you naked until you have to get ready to go see your girls. But there are things I have to catch up on. Even a day away leaves me with a pile of shit to sort out."
She tilted her head back and smiled up at him.
"It's okay, Drake. This was enough. You've made my entire day better already, and it'll make me look forward to being back with you later tonight, when you've concluded your business."
He kissed her, taking his time exploring her mouth and lips. Then he rolled away, sliding from beneath the covers.
"Ah, how you tempt me, Angel. If I don't get up now, I will indeed say fuck it and keep you in my bed all day."
She rewarded him with a radiant smile, and then made a shooing motion with her hand.
"Go, or you're going to be late. You can make it up to me tonight."
A delicious gleam entered his eyes as he stared down at her body, exposed when he'd pulled the covers away to get out of bed.
"Oh, I'm going to make it up to you, and a whole hell of a lot more."
She shivered at the promise in his voice and watched appreciatively as he turned and walked naked to the bathroom. She lay there in his bed, long after he'd kissed her goodbye and departed, not wanting to leave the warmth from his body still imprinted into the mattress. Finally, she summoned her courage and slid her cell phone from the nightstand and brought up Lana's name. She'd start there and rotate. Eventually someone would answer. Days off usually started slow because of the late night before, so she was certain at least one, if not all three, would be home. Taking a deep breath, she hit connect and waited to see if Lana would answer. To her shock, Lana picked up on the second ring.
"Hello?"
Evangeline's enthusiasm waned, and she scolded herself for her paranoia rising in proportion. Lana sounded groggy and as though she'd been asleep, so she likely hadn't even seen who was calling. Oh well, Evangeline was going to make the most of an opportunity.
"Lana, hi, it's Evangeline. I've been trying to call you guys."
There was a hesitation, and a period of quiet descended.
"Vangie?" "Yes, it's me. Did I wake you?"
Evangeline silently urged Lana not to take the out she was giving her, and nearly did a fist pump when Lana said no.
"How are you?" Evangeline asked. "How is everyone? I miss you guys so much. Drake has an important meeting tonight, and I thought we could all get together since it's your night off." Vangie, give me a second, okay?"
Evangeline's brow creased as the line went silent, and then she heard muffled sounds, Lana obviously getting out of bed, and then the sound of a door shutting. A faucet running? Had she gone into the bathroom? Understanding dawned, and directly on its heels came dread and deep sadness. Lana didn't want Steph and Nikki to know she was talking to Evangeline. She closed her eyes, tears stinging the lids. Why did it have to be a choice between Drake and her best friends? Why couldn't they be happy for her and wish her well?
Look, Vanjie, I don't want this to come across the wrong way, but Steph is pretty hurt over the way things went down. I don't think it's a good idea for us all to get together yet. Give it a few more weeks. Let her chill.
Why can't she be happy for me? Evangeline whispered. Why can't all of you be happy for me?
Lana sighed.
We want what's best for you. We're just not sure this Drake guy is what's best.
Shouldn't that be my decision?
Lana sighed again. I'm just telling you like it is. You know how Steph is. She holds a grudge a long time, but eventually she'll let go of it. Just give it time.
Would you and Nikki meet me somewhere this evening?
Evangeline asked, desperate to salvage something out of this whole fiasco.
It's not even an issue, Lana said, with a hint of impatience in her voice. We have to work tonight, open to close.
Evangeline frowned.
But this is y'all's day off. It's always been your day off.
Not anymore, Lana said bitterly. Not since you left. We're short-staffed, and everyone is having to take extra shifts to cover until management hires a replacement. And he's a little too happy to be pocketing that extra salary, so he's in no hurry to hire someone new.
Evangeline closed her eyes, guilt and grief vying for equal attention. Despite Lana's assertion that Steph was the one holding a grudge, and she was the one unhappy with Evangeline, it was obvious that Lana wasn't any more eager to reconcile than the others.
I'm sorry to have bothered you, Evangeline whispered.
I'll let you go so you can go back to sleep. You have a long shift tonight.
Before Lana could respond, Evangeline slid her finger over the button to end the call and cradled the phone to her chest, lying still, staring sightlessly up at the ceiling. The tears that had threatened during the call fell freely now, sliding from the corners of her eyes, over her temples and into her hair, dampening the pillow her head rested on. Never in a million years would she have imagined herself to be a woman who chose a man over her best girlfriends. And yet that was exactly what she'd done. She couldn't blame her friends for being upset or feeling betrayed. One day things had been normal, and the next everything had changed.
I don't regret it, she whispered fiercely.
Drake was worth it. And if Steph, Lana, and Nikki were true friends, they would have supported her from the start. They would have wanted her to be happy instead of remaining stuck in the same mundane, going-nowhere life she'd led. She stayed in bed, staring at the ceiling, grieving the loss of three people she loved dearly. She couldn't find it in her heart to assign blame or even resent her friends for their actions. Evangeline had acted completely out of character, irrationally, to be honest. Things had worked out, but there were so many ways the entire situation could have gone very wrong. If it had been one of them who'd been so impulsive, Evangeline would have reacted in the same manner. She would have fought and tried to make her friend see reason. But love didn't have an assigned set of rules. Love was worth any sacrifice. Just as she couldn't, wouldn't, blame her friends for their feelings, never would she regret her decision to be with Drake. She loved him. And he cared for her, too. Did he love her? She wasn't sure. But she knew she had a very important place in his life. Could he love her? Absolutely. In the beginning, she would have said that never in a million years could someone like Drake ever love someone like her. But he'd proved his words over and over. He'd proved they weren't just words meant to elicit a desired response. And it wasn't just about sex, because God knew he could have any woman he wanted with nothing more than a look. She'd seen the way women followed him with their gazes, openly lustful expressions, flirtatious, brazen invitations, And yet when he was with her, it was as if other women simply didn't exist. His attention was always solely focused on her. She rolled to her stomach, and then forced herself to sit up. She wouldn't lie there the entire day disheartened when she'd been blessed by such a precious gift. Drake. Her life had forever changed the night she'd walked into Impulse, and looking back, she wouldn't change a single thing leading up to that night, because she wouldn't have met Drake otherwise. She sighed. So much for her plans for the evening. She supposed she needed to come up with a plan B and notify Drake, who would then notify Maddox. But try as she might, nothing appealed. She had no desire to go out without Drake or her girls. If only Drake didn't have that damn business meeting here tonight. She came to an abrupt halt as she started to climb out of bed, her mind running at the speed of light. She knew he was having the delivery service cater his meeting, and there were 6 guests. She could kick the delivery service's ass any day of the week and knock Drake and his associates' socks off with a decadent meal. The more she thought about it, the more excited she became. There was no need of him having his delivery service bring in food for his meeting when she could arrange a kick-ass dinner and play the consummate hostess for him. She wanted to make him proud of her, prove that she could fit into his world, and not shame him in front of the people he associated with. She'd go all out for the meal, and prepare something worthy of a 5-star restaurant, and she'd dress to the nines and even wear the expensive jewelry he'd bought for her. The jewelry she'd been so reluctant to accept. Once dinner was served, and she ensured everyone's comfort and enjoyment, she would discreetly disappear, so they could discuss their business matters, without her underfoot. But there was a lot she had to do, and if she didn't get started now, her plans would be an epic fail. The first order of business was to plan the menu, and so after showering and changing, she sat down at the bar in the kitchen and prepared a list of all the items she'd require. Then she'd simply call Edward and have him send out for the groceries. That task completed, she went into her closet and spent an hour pondering her wardrobe possibilities. She didn't want to be over the top or look like she was trying to impress, even if that was precisely what she wanted to do. Impress Drake. But she wanted classy, beautiful, elegant, and yet simple. Finally, she chose a blue strapless knee-length cocktail dress that was perfect. She realized with excitement that the sapphire and diamond choker that she'd never worn would look perfect with the dress, and she could wear the diamond stud earrings Drake had bought for her. She'd finish off the look with the diamond tennis bracelet and a pair of silver heels. She'd wear her hair up to best show off the choker and earrings, and allow a few tendrils to float down her neck and cheeks, and use a curling iron to make loose ringlets. Her brain came to a screeching halt when she remembered the single most important barrier to her pulling off her big surprise. Maddox. And the fact that he was supposed to be taking her to her girlfriend's apartment. She frowned. Think, damn it. There had to be a way. Wait. Lana had said they were all working tonight, open to close, which meant the apartment would be empty, and she still had a key. All she had to do was arrange as much as she could in advance, then have Maddox drive her to the apartment. He'd wait in the car while she went up, and she could climb down the fire escape, hustle a few blocks over, and hail a cab back to Drake's.
"You're a genius, Evangeline!" she said gleefully.
Her plan was flawless and totally doable. Maddox would never suspect that she would bail out the fire escape, and she could be back in plenty of time to dress and finish preparations before Drake arrived with his guests. Satisfied that she'd planned for every eventuality, she laid out her wardrobe for the evening and then picked a simple outfit to wear out with Maddox. Something that wouldn't impede her climb down the fire escape from the 7th floor. The rest of the day dragged on, with Evangeline checking her watch every half hour, willing time to go faster. She breathed a sigh of relief when Edward personally brought up the groceries she'd ordered and winked at her when she anxiously told him not to breathe a word to anyone about his outing.
She told him the truth, that she was planning a surprise for Drake, and he seemed delighted to be included in the plotting. Happy to now have something to pass the time with, she put together everything she could beforehand, preparing 3 different appetizers and 2 choices of sauces to accompany the veal she would pop into the oven the minute she returned home from her girlfriend's. She mixed the ingredients for the sides and then slipped them in the refrigerator. Satisfied that dinner was arranged and would only require 30 minutes cooking time at most when she arrived back, she checked her watch and then squeaked. It was already 4:30. She dashed to the bedroom and hastily brushed out her hair, securing it into a messy bun, and then found a pair of casual slip-on shoes. After a quick once-over in the mirror, after all, she was just going to her girlfriend's apartment, she hurried back to the kitchen just to double-check and mentally go over her menu one last time to ensure she hadn't overlooked anything.
"Evangeline, you ready to go?"
Maddox called from the foyer. Adrenaline surged in her veins, and she took a few seconds to steady her frayed nerves, and then calmly called back.
"Yeah, let me grab my purse and I'll be right there."
She sucked in a deep breath as she collected her bag and headed to meet Maddox. Well, here went nothing. Hopefully her plans went off without a hitch, and she'd make Drake proud tonight by playing the consummate hostess.
30. Evangeline dashed into Drake's apartment building, out of breath as she frantically sought Edward out. To her relief, he was in the lobby, and when he saw her, he started her way, a warm smile on his face.
"I don't have much time, Edward. I have to get to the apartment if I'm going to pull off my surprise. But I need a favor. Just as I asked you not to say a word about me sending out for groceries, when Mr. Donovan arrives, you can't say a word about me being here. If he should inquire, I left with Maddox at 5 and haven't returned."
Edward's eyes twinkled, but his words were solemn.
"Your secret is safe with me, Evangeline. I won't say a word, I swear."
She hugged him, squeezing hard, leaving him befuddled and flustered.
"Thank you," she said fervently. "Now, if you'll excuse me, I don't have much time."
"Would you like me to ring up to let you know when Mr. Donovan gets on the elevator?" he inquired.
She hadn't even considered that, and it was an excellent idea.
"That would be perfect. I never even thought about that. Thank you so much."
"Anytime. Now be on your way so your surprise isn't ruined."
She dashed past him to the elevator, and moments later burst into the apartment. She immediately went into the kitchen and popped the side dishes in the oven and used 3 skillets to cook the veal on the stovetop. The appetizers would take only a few minutes to warm, so she would save those for last. After ensuring everything was taken care of, she ran for the bedroom to change and do her hair and makeup. She took meticulous care in perfecting her appearance, checking her watch every few minutes to make sure she didn't ruin dinner. Finally satisfied with the end result, she stared into the mirror, her eyes widening in shock. She looked beautiful, sexy even. She'd gone with a smoky, sultry look for her eyes, with a sheer lip gloss that didn't detract from the dramatic effect of her eyes. Her hair was upswept into a delicate knot, with loose curls floating lazily down her neck. The choker and earrings looked magnificent, totally in keeping with the classy women Drake would be seen with. And the dress fit her perfectly, accentuating her curves. For once, she didn't lament what she considered her imperfections, because tonight she looked soft and feminine. The dress just clipped the top of her knees, and the heels made her legs look longer and more attractive. She fastened the last piece of jewelry, the bracelet, around her wrist, and lightly spritzed her favorite perfume on her neck and wrists and then took a deep breath. It wouldn't be long before Drake arrived with his company, and she wanted to be there to greet them and play the gracious hostess. She'd made sure she had a wide variety of fine wines and the most expensive liquors to accompany the divine appetizers she planned to arrange artfully on sterling silver platters. She'd go check on them now, and when Edward called up to say Drake had arrived, she would put out the starters on the coffee table in the living room so the men could relax while she finished dinner and set the table. Taking one last glance at herself in the mirror, she smiled, satisfied with her appearance, and eager to see the approval in Drake's eyes when he realized she'd gone to great lengths to entertain his guests. She was quivering with excitement as she left the bedroom and went back into the kitchen to check on the side dishes in the oven and the progress of the veal on the stovetop. She sniffed appreciatively at the delicious aromas that filled the apartment, relieved that nothing smelled overdone or burned. She cracked open the oven to see the bubbling side dishes, and then she turned the veal so both sides were evenly cooked. Then she set the sauces on to warm, stirring at intervals so they didn't scorch. Her pulse surged, temporarily making her lightheaded when the call button went off and Edward's voice came over the intercom.
"Mr. Donovan and six of his associates are on their way up."
"Thank you, Edward," she said sincerely. "I really appreciate you doing this for me."
"No thanks is necessary. I'm only doing my job, and seeing to your needs gives me great satisfaction."
She balanced the three trays bearing the expertly made appetizers. After all, she had been a waitress in a busy pub, and hurriedly set them down in the living room. Then she turned and took the few short steps toward the foyer. Evangeline smoothed her dress, and then went to stand a distance back from the elevator doors so she could issue a greeting, but most importantly, see the approval and pride in Drake's eyes when he realized the effort she'd put into being an asset to him, and that, as she'd promised him, she would always take care of and protect him. And she wanted him to be proud of her, and not to ever regret his decision to make her his. It was years of perfecting an impenetrable persona that enabled Drake to engage in conversation ranging from the random to the obscene with the business associates he was entertaining in his apartment tonight as they entered the elevator in his building, and actually give the impression he gave a fuck about whatever they had to say. He rarely entertained in his home, usually opting for one of the many suites of offices and complexes he owned, a private room in an exclusive restaurant, or, depending on the business associate he was meeting with, they simply met at impulse and took the premier VIP suite overlooking the dance floor, since Drake never allowed anyone he didn't trust implicitly into his office at the club. Before Evangeline, it was simply a matter of not wanting his private domain trespassed on. But now he felt as though he defiled it by bringing such filth into Evangeline's home. But some matters required no room or margin for error. No chance of being overheard, misunderstood, or, in this case, being seen in a public place together. Thank God he'd had the forethought to ensure Evangeline wouldn't be present, because while Drake could school his features, mask his thoughts, and allow nothing of what he was feeling to reflect in his eyes, when it came to his angel, he could no more appear indifferent than she could be anything but honest and sincere in both words and expression. And Drake's greatest strength, the reason he was invincible, was that he had no weaknesses for his enemies to exploit. Until now. Until Evangeline. If it was known that Evangeline was his greatest and only weakness, she would absolutely be used to take him down, because where before he would never negotiate, never had reason to, there was nothing he wouldn't do, wouldn't sacrifice, to keep her safe. The mere thought of his angel being hurt or defiled because of him sent chilling fear through every part of his soul, and he was a man who feared nothing and no one.
"Sweet pad you have, Donovan," one of the men said, as they reached the top floor. Drake gave him a lazy smile and drawled, "Only the best. Only way to live."
"Hell yeah," another chimed in.
The elevator doors opened, and Drake came to an abrupt halt,
shock and dread turning his veins to ice when he saw Evangeline standing at the end of the foyer, a shy, welcoming smile on her face, and looking so achingly beautiful that he was momentarily robbed of speech. Oh, God.
No. This wasn't happening. What the fuck? He was going to kill Maddox. This couldn't be happening. It wasn't happening. He had to be imagining her presence. But an appreciative whistle from behind him confirmed the very real vision of the angel standing before him, and the evil he had sworn she would never be exposed to.
Now that is one sweet piece, one of the men said. You've been holding out on us, Drake.
I wouldn't mind having some of that,
another said crudely, as the others laughed.
Hey, Donovan, is she part of tonight's entertainment? Because I have to say, you certainly know how to throw one hell of a party.
Evangeline flushed, embarrassment and trepidation shadowing her eyes. Uncertainty and fear flashed over her features. But then her chin came up, and she calmly composed herself and started forward, her welcoming smile once more in place.
Good evening, gentlemen. If you'd like to go into the living room, there are appetizers and drinks. Dinner will be ready and on the table shortly.
I hope to hell she's dessert, one muttered in a low voice.
Drake's heart sank, and desolation settled deep into his bones for what he knew he had to do. What he had no choice but to do, and he'd never hated himself more than in this moment. Evangeline had arranged to play hostess and had gone all out for him because she wanted so badly to please him, make him proud of her, and let him know he mattered. She was so beautiful she took his breath away. She was even wearing the jewelry he'd given her, gifts she'd been uncomfortable receiving because she never wanted him to think even for a moment that she wanted anything but him. Not the material things he offered. She was dressed impeccably, as if she wanted to make him proud. Worthy of him, when it was he who was in no way worthy of her. And he was about to destroy the most precious gift he had ever been given, because he had no other choice.
What the hell are you doing here, bitch? He snarled. Do you not understand orders when they're given to you? If I wanted my latest whore to dress up and play hostess in my apartment, I damn sure would have chosen one with more class and with the intelligence to heed simple instructions.
Evangeline's eyes went wide with shock and devastation. She stood as still as a statue, tears gathering in her eyes, her face flushed with humiliation.
You can't cook for shit. So do you honestly think I'd want you to serve my business associates and embarrass me when I had already arranged delivery from one of the finest restaurants in the city?
Tears slid down her cheeks, her eye makeup smearing in dark streaks.
Goddamn useless woman who can't even follow simple instructions, he repeated with a snarl. Get on your knees, he barked. Now!
When she hesitated. Trembling and nearly falling, she clumsily fell to her knees, wincing as they made contact with the hard Italian marble floor. Drake strode forward, reaching for his fly, opening it and pulling out his flaccid erection.
Suck it, and you better damn well make me hard and swallow every drop of my cum.
She lifted her eyes, betrayal and utter devastation dulling her eyes. He twisted his hand cruelly in her hair, yanking at the elegant knot until her hair tumbled down her neck.
Open your goddamn mouth!
Her lips trembled, fear replacing embarrassment and mortification. Fear. The one thing he'd sworn he'd never make her feel. He wasn't gentle. He couldn't afford to be. As soon as her lips parted, he shoved his dick all the way to the back of her throat, making her gag and choke.
Can't even give good head, he said in disgust. He held her head in a brutal grip and began fucking her mouth with a force he'd never before used with her. Knowing there was no way in hell he'd come because he was in no way turned on by the brutality he was subjecting her to, he said in a harsh voice, "Swallow all of it. If so much as a drop spills, I'll punish you so you won't be able to sit for a week."
"Why are you doing this?"
she whispered tearfully, low enough the others couldn't hear.
"Because you blatantly disobeyed me."
Utter defeat was reflected in her body and expression as she robotically knelt there, enduring Drake's brutal treatment of her. But the never-ending stream of tears was his undoing, and he was grateful the men were behind him and couldn't see the torment on his face. Torment even Evangeline didn't register, because she'd mentally checked out, numbness overtaking her entire body. He hated himself more than he thought it possible to ever hate anyone, even his mother and father, when he'd spent a realistic amount of time fucking her mouth to make it believable that he'd come. He instructed her to swallow and to lick every drop of cum from his dick and her lips. Then he roughly yanked her to her feet and shoved her toward the kitchen. "Throw out whatever shit you cooked and make sure every pot, pan, or utensil is cleaned. And get whatever the fuck you have set out in the living room in the trash can. From now on, you stay the fuck out of my kitchen and my business. Your only use is in my bedroom. And just so you know, you will be severely punished when I return for disobeying a direct order, one you couldn't possibly have misunderstood." He hesitated, hating himself more and more with every hateful, despicable word that spewed from his mouth. "What's your job, whore? What is the only job you have?"
Obey,
she said in a choked voice.
"One responsibility and you can't even accomplish that," he said with fake disgust.
Then he turned to the men who'd accompanied him, disgusted that they were visibly aroused by Drake's humiliation of Evangeline and the fact that he'd made her suck him off in front of them. He wanted to throw up.
"Let's go somewhere we can get a decent meal. I apologize for my stupid whore's obvious ineptitude."
He started for the elevator door, and then turned back, his expression as cold and chilling as he could make it.
"When I get back, this place better be spotless, and I want you in my bed, naked and ready to receive your punishment. And I won't have any mercy."
Evangeline stood there in shock, staring at the closed elevator doors for several long minutes after Drake's abrupt departure. She glanced down at herself, makeup-stained tears falling onto the floor. Beautiful, classy, elegant. She had been fooling herself, and Drake had perpetuated one of the biggest hoaxes in history because he'd made her feel all of those things. Worthless. Whore. Bitch. The words he'd used to describe her echoed over and over in her head until rage finally roused her from the numb shock surrounding her. Even as she robotically started for the kitchen, like an automaton trained to follow Drake's orders, she twisted violently, yanking the heels off her feet and hurling them through the living room at the coffee table and the trays of food she'd labored so painstakingly over. 2 bottles of the wine and 2 bottles of liquor, hit by the flying shoes, tumbled from the table, and she heard the satisfying crack of breaking glass. She stormed into the bedroom, yanking and tearing at her dress until she managed to free herself. With shaking hands, she removed every piece of jewelry he'd bought for her and underhanded them onto the bed. Then she sank to the floor on her knees, clad in only her panties and bra. Raw, ugly-sounding sobs clawed their way up her throat and out of her lips, the sound of terrible grief.
"You will be severely punished." "Oh, hell no. To hell with Drake.
To hell with every lie he'd ever fed her. For building her up, only so he could be the one to tear her down. Feeling like an old, decrepit woman, she crawled to the closet and rummaged until she found a pair of jeans and a t-shirt. Drake had thrown every bit of her old clothing out when he'd moved her in. Otherwise, she wouldn't take a single thing bought by him. As it was, she packed a bag with 3 pairs of jeans, 1 casual dress that was suitable for job hunting, and 2 pairs of shoes. The rest she left hanging, most still with the tags attached. Then she went about systematically removing any and all of her presents from the bedroom. She went from room to room, throwing away or simply destroying any possible reminder of herself in Drake's eyes. And then she remembered the meal she'd labored so intensively over. She hoped it had burned and left a charred mess. After lifting the silver trays and dumping the appetizers over the couch and chair and the floor to accompany the shattered bottles of alcohol, she went into the kitchen and dumped every single skillet and baking dish onto the floor.
To hell with you, Drake Donovan! I gave you everything, and this is what I got in return. I hope you rot in hell where you belong. At least Eddie was honest.
Tears streaming down her face, she rode the elevator down, only to be met by a worried Edward, who rushed over to take her elbow.
"Miss Hawthorne," he said, in his haste foregoing all familiarity, as if he too were just as rid of her as Drake. She burst into a fresh torrent of tears, and tried to maneuver around him.
"Please, Evangeline, tell me what's wrong. Mr. Donovan returned shortly after he came up, and he looked furious. Are you all right?"
"I'll never be all right," she said flatly,
even as tears ran freely down her face.
"Let me help you, please. Tell me what I can do."
Realizing the older man was genuinely concerned and evidently ignorant of all that had happened, or at least he hadn't been instructed to have nothing to do with her, she paused.
"I need to get away from here," she said desperately.
"Of course. Shall I call for one of Mr. Donovan's men to come for you?"
"No," she shrieked. "I need a cab, and I need you to never tell anyone, especially Drake or his men, that you saw me, that you helped me, or I'm afraid your job will be out the door just like I am."
Compassion softened his eyes, even as he guided her toward the door. "Where shall I instruct the cab to take you?" he asked gently. Her shoulders sagged, and she ran a hand through the rumpled mess of her hair, knowing the fright she must look, with her makeup running, her hairdo destroyed.
"I have no place to go," she whispered,
knowing she couldn't show up at her girlfriend's place. She couldn't bear the "I told you so's," and neither could she take their pity. She couldn't stomach that just hours ago she'd applauded her decision to choose Drake over her friendships with her best friends. How could she ever face them again? And even if she did feel welcome, it was the first place Drake would think to look for her. Even if he fully intended to throw her out, and she was sure that was precisely what he intended, he would likely still hunt her down, if for nothing more than to exact his punishment, and then tell her to her face he was finished with her. Why pass up another opportunity to humiliate her even more? Far better to do it in front of her girlfriends. Fuck that. Her mother would forgive the obscenities, given the circumstances. But then what more could he possibly do to her than what he'd done tonight? She was without pride, shamed beyond measure, and more humiliated than she'd ever been with Eddie. She would never be the same woman again. Drake had utterly destroyed her, and there was nothing left but the shattered remains of her dignity. To hell with it all. She would never trust another man as long as she lived. Edward's mouth tightened into an angry line, and then he escorted her out of the building to the street side, where he motioned for a waiting cab.
"My sister manages a hotel in Brooklyn. It's nothing fancy, mind you, but I'll call her and let her know to expect you. She'll have a place for you to stay for as long as you need, until you decide where you want to go."
She looked up at Edward, his features blurring behind the sheen of tears. I can't let you or her do that, Edward. I have no money for a hotel. At least not for more than one night. Until I find a job.
He took her hands in one of his as he opened the back of the cab and gently set her inside.
Don't you worry about that, he reassured. My sister will take care of your arrangements.
Then he pulled several bills from his pocket and thrust them toward the driver, giving him the address to the hotel in Brooklyn.
Goodbye, Evangeline, Edward said in a soft voice, his eyes brimming with sympathy. It was indeed a pleasure knowing you, and I wish you well.
As the cab pulled away, Evangeline buried her face in her hands and burst into a torrent of tears.
31. Dinner was hell for Drake. The facade he'd so arrogantly reflected on when riding up the elevator with the men meeting him for business at his apartment was utterly shattered. And it was only the fact that he was clinging to the tattered remnants of his iron will with his bare fingernails that kept him from bailing and telling them all to go fuck themselves. As it was, when one of the men had chuckled, clapped Drake on the back, as they'd been seated in a private room at one of the restaurants Drake frequented, and said,
"Good show, Drake. Can't ever forget to remind a woman of their place in the world."
Drake had nearly reached over and beaten the ever-loving hell out of him.
Evangeline's place in the world? Somehow, without his even realizing it, she had become his world. And he couldn't imagine his world without her sweet, generous smile, her endearing determination to take care of him, and for him to know he was cared about. Which was all tonight had been about, goddammit!
He couldn't stop the sight of the devastation in her eyes from replaying over and over like a never-ending highlight reel in his head. Her tears and fear of him, goddammit! He, who had vowed he would never give her any reason to fear him, that she would always be safe with him, and he'd protect her above all else. And the idea that he'd done far worse to her than her piece of shit ex was more than he could bear. But he couldn't react. He couldn't rush through dinner so he could hurry home and get on his knees and beg her forgiveness. Forgiveness he didn't deserve. Because then these men would know just what Evangeline meant to him, and they'd use every means available to blackmail and extort whatever they could from him. Drake was a never-ending source of frustration to his enemies and competitors because he had no weaknesses. They had no way of touching him, hurting him, and they feared him because he was ruthless and would take out any threat to him and his business interests. Not to mention, he was surrounded by his most trusted men who would give their lives to protect Drake, and they were every bit as feared as Drake himself was. But they would hurt Evangeline with no second thought or compunction. They'd use her as a means to an end and not give a fuck if they destroyed her and him in the process. They'd relish the opportunity to take Drake and his monopoly on numerous business practices completely down. And Drake could never live with himself if Evangeline was hurt, brutalized, or killed because of him. He could never live without her. And the hell of it was he was only just admitting it, but he'd known for a long time. He just couldn't bring himself to acknowledge the truth, because it made him weak and vulnerable. How to make her understand? He'd just destroyed something so very precious, and shit all over the unconditional trust and faith she'd so generously given him, with no strings, no conditions, though God knew he'd never given her any reason to do so. He'd taken, but had never given her anything that mattered. At least not to her. Throwing expensive trinkets her way was like tossing a pet treats, when all she wanted was what he hadn't been brave enough to give her. Unfettered access to his heart. He was a fucking coward, who wasn't worthy to lick her shoes. One of the men looked over at Drake, whose outwardly cool and calm demeanor masked inner turmoil, unlike anything he'd ever experienced before in his life.
"That's a sweet piece of ass you've got there, Donovan. And I sure as hell wouldn't give a fuck if she could cook or not."
The others chuckled and nodded their agreement.
"I wouldn't mind having a taste of that for a while. If you toss her, let me know, yeah? And if you don't toss her right away, give me a heads up when you do so I can move in and take a shot at her."
Drake smiled, even as he seethed inwardly. "She's very talented in other ways, if you know what I mean, which makes up for her lack in others. She amuses me for now, but I'll keep your offer in mind, and when I get tired of her and the good no longer outweighs the bad, then you're welcome to her." Drake hated every word. It sickened him to even talk about Evangeline with such disrespect, and casually discuss passing her along to another man like used goods. All that kept going through his mind was seeing his angel's eyes when he'd denounced and humiliated her in front of the others. How he'd spent so much time building her up, building her confidence after the number her ex did on her. And now, in just a few minutes' time, he'd utterly destroyed everything he'd worked to achieve and give back to her. And what he'd done to her had been far worse than what that shithead had done to her. Because she trusted Drake. She believed in him, had faith in him unreservedly. No conditions, stipulations. She'd given him and only him the precious gift of herself. She'd given him what she'd never given another man, and he'd shit all over it and her. He wanted to puke his guts up. He had a hell of a lot of explaining and groveling to do when he got back home. On his knees. He would do something he'd vowed never to do again. Beg. Whatever it took for Evangeline to forgive him and trust him again. Because for the rest of his life, not one day would pass that he wouldn't remember this night and the pain and humiliation, the tears streaking down her beautiful face while he ripped her apart in front of others who'd stood there watching in amusement and approval. Now, if we can get down to business and dispense with something so unimportant as my latest piece of ass, Donovan said acidly. The others dropped the joking, their expressions growing serious. The leader, the head of the Lucconi family, leaned forward, his voice low.
"Are you willing to back our takeover of the Vannuccis?"
"That depends," Drake drawled. No way in fucking hell would he ever do business with men who showed Evangeline such blatant disrespect, even if it was the height of hypocrisy, since Drake had instigated it all. But he could arrange to make it appear as though one of the Lucconi family fed information to the Vannuccis, which in turn would start a war between the two rival families, resulting in the removal of two pains in Drake's ass.
"Name your price, Donovan," the older Lucconi said in a gravelly voice. "Your name carries enough weight on its own. If you're linked in any way to us, then the Vannuccis won't even put up a fight, because the last thing they'll want to do is piss you off."
"I'll consider your proposition," Drake said, pretending to give the matter serious consideration. "I'll have one of my men contact you in a few days to discuss terms. When the Vannuccis get wind of our meeting, they'll come to me with their own offer, so you better come with your best." The older Lucconi's eyes narrowed as he stared at Drake.
"Now how the hell would they know we met with you unless you told them?"
Drake laughed scornfully.
"You're a fool, old man. If you think the Vannuccis don't have a man inside your organization reporting every time you so much as take a shit, then you're not as smart as I gave you credit for."
Already he was planting a seed of doubt, for when he did in fact leak the information to the Vannuccis, thus instigating a bloodbath between the two crime families. To Drake's relief, the entrees were finally delivered,
and he ate quickly, not even tasting what was in front of him. He made it a point not to check his watch to see how much time had elapsed, because he wanted these sons of bitches gone, while they appeared to be taking their sweet time. They weren't stupid. He made it a point to never underestimate his partners or his enemies. He had no doubt they were taking their time and keeping close watch on him and his actions, so they could determine just what his motives concerning Evangeline were. And so it was Drake who suggested they go for drinks after they finished dinner, leaving it to them to be satisfied he was in no hurry, or decide if he was simply willing them not to call his bluff. Thankfully for him, once they discussed the Vannuccis in depth and the Luconis tried to strong-arm a commitment from Drake on the spot, they gave up and called it a night, each going their own way from the restaurant, while Drake slipped from the back, as if he'd never been there at all. He called his driver and told him to meet him 2 blocks from the restaurant, then hastily jumped in, instructing him to get home as fast as he could. His driver, unruffled by the demand, promptly floored it, and Drake held his hands in tight fists the entire interminable way there. He cursed every stoplight, but his driver swung deftly through the streets, running intersections that didn't have heavy cross-traffic. When at last they arrived, Drake was out and running before the car had pulled to a complete stop. He took the express elevator that only ran between his penthouse and the lobby, praying the entire way that Evangeline would even look at him, much less listen to anything he had to say. God, let her be sweet, generous, and forgiving one last time, and he'd never give her reason to doubt him again. As soon as the elevator doors opened, he bolted into the apartment, yelling her name. He winced when he saw the mess in the kitchen, the contents of what appeared to be an extensive menu dumped on the floor, skillets and pots strewn across the bar, the stove, and the floor, along with the contents. When he hit the living room on the way to the bedroom, his dread only increased when he saw the silver trays with appetizers scattered all over the room, liquor and wine bottles smashed, and huge wet stains on his furniture and carpet. Paying them no heed, he burst into the bedroom, prepared to beg, on his knees, for her to forgive him. He had a hell of a lot of explaining to do, and that explanation would raise questions he wasn't prepared to answer without further fear of driving her away, if he hadn't done so already. But Evangeline was nowhere to be seen. All the jewelry he'd gifted her with, including the items she'd worn tonight, were scattered on their bed, and the remnants of the dress she'd worn lay in pieces on the floor. When he checked her closet, it was full, except for a couple pair of jeans and a few casual shirts and 1 pair of tennis shoes. Most noticeable was that his small travel bag was missing. He sank to his knees, his chest so tight it felt as though it were being crushed. His worst nightmare had come to life. She was gone. He'd driven her away. He'd treated her despicably. Not since his childhood had he felt such desolation and helpless despair. But this was his doing. He'd done the unthinkable. He wasn't the victim. Evangeline was. His sweet, innocent angel, whose only crime was loving him and wanting to take care of him and show him he mattered. And he'd repaid her by taking her gift and throwing it back in her face in the most despicable way a man could hurt the woman he cared about. He buried his face in his hands, raw agony clawing at his insides. I fucked up, Angel. But I'm coming for you. So help me, God. I know I failed you. I let you down. But goddammit, I will not let you go. I'll never let you go. I'll fight for you with my last breath. I can't live without you, he whispered. You're the only thing good in my life. The only sunshine I've ever experienced in a life steeped in gray. I can't live without you. You're my only reason for living. You have to come home, because without you, I am... nothing. We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of Mastered by Maya Banks, performed by Jeremy York. Performance copyright 2015 by Brilliance Audio. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance Audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brillianceaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.